If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM, let's create.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
This is Paris.
So, hey everyone, we are about to interview the beautiful, the hilarious Whitney Cummings. Yes.
Whitney, welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. This is a big deal. I mean, this is a very big deal. I'm obsessed with you, Paris, and I'm forcing you to be my friend, which I don't keep a secret. And I love this. I love that you're just, your shoes are off. I can kind of see your inner thighs, sir. No, you, sir. I'm talking to
me?
You.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Sorry. I'll fix that. My bad.
No, please. I'm just, it's, you know, if you don't mind me staring at it, it's called equality.
We've kind of met before a little bit. Do you remember me by any, in any way?
Fuck.
No, it's not.
I mean, hold on. It is a wide shot. Wait, we do. No, can I tell you something? We do know each other somehow, but I have this thing where really handsome, tall guys, like, I just am like, ugh. Like, I don't, was I rude?
Well, you didn't describe me as a tall, handsome man in the podcast, that's for sure. I was the gentleman that Liza Koshy went on the date with, and you ripped me to shreds for about an hour as she described the date. And I remained anonymous.
Okay. It was so good talking to you guys. I'm just canceling. Nothing personal, Paris. I'm too embarrassed. So I just need to
see ya. I do. I'll say this. I got a DM and someone said, Liza talked about going on a date with a goofy looking TV host, and I'm pretty sure it's you, Hunter. And I was like, that could only be me. I listened to it. I was laughing the whole time. I love comedy. I thought you were hysterical. So you have nothing to worry about.
And it's the kind of thing where, you know, like, I had something with, like, David Blaine where he, like, came up to me once and was like, oh yeah, that thing you said that time. And I'm like, oh my God, dude. Literally, it was like when you're trying to make ha-has, like, you're going to say stuff that is going to hurt people by accident. You don't even know if you're hurting. Like, I didn't even know you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm not sorry. I'm not going to be apologetic.
So just,
I stand by all the stuff I said. Was there something about a persimmon?
Oh, well, I had persimmons in the backyard and we
right.
had like...
No, you know, they were kumquats, I think.
Oh, it was a kumquat. Yes. She had never had a kumquat.
Yeah, I'm just saying, of course I'm going to go to town on the kumquat guy.
Yeah, anyway, she...
You know what I mean? But it's really beautiful. I mean, it is really beautiful. I mean... When I'm not joking, it's like all the stuff I was hearing was like, this guy's like amazing. But I have to say that it's a creepy serial killer because I just, what else? What am I going to be like?
That was what she kept saying.
I know, Dexter. I heard it yesterday.
Did you listen to it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you were high?
No, she's dying.
Dying.
Oh, she's dying. Oh, good.
Yeah, I thought it was really cute. So I asked Liza and she goes, of course you can bring it up to Whitney. But Liza's the greatest human in the world. And you guys talking was one of my favorite. It's so funny to hear your own date back to you. I was thinking to myself, that guy's going to fucking kill her. For sure. There's no way.
But like, when you're, that's the danger of like, I am dating a new guy and I'm like, can I make fun of him? Because it's like, I understand to people that aren't comics how like, that could come off like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like, I think we're all used to roasting each other so hard. And then when it's someone that I like, don't know, I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm sorry. Like, oh, I feel gross.
No, you're fine. Don't worry about it at all. But that actually does bring up an interesting point. Paris and I were just talking to Nikki in one of our previous episodes, Paris's sister, about how sometimes comedians, especially to Paris, to Brittany is another good example, Lindsay Lohan, all these people, comedian David Letterman, Sarah Silverman, were really harsh. And it's kind of, there's been a little bit of a reckoning. We want to know what you think about that.
Yeah. And I mean, what I'll say is like, you know, as someone that came up in this business, like, you know, it's something that you're like, it just becomes so normalized and that you become desensitized to it. And it's also like, what are we going to do? Do you know what I mean? It's like, you go on Letterman and he makes a couple jokes and you're like, well, what am I like, what am I going to say something? What am I gonna, like, what leverage do I have? You know, like, I'm lucky to be here. I get, you know, I think that this business conditions you to believe that you're so lucky when you get any opportunity and you have to like be on your best behavior all the time that it's like, I saw that for years. I've been being in writer's rooms and comedy writer's rooms and award show writer's rooms. And you're just like, what am I going to say? Hey guys, stop being, you know, like what, am I the hall monitor? Like, you know, it's also been tricky because as all this stuff has been sort of happening, this reckoning, I find myself in situations where I'm like, oh, I guess I'm the person that needs to speak out about this. You know, no one else is going to. It's such a culture of enabling silence. And like, especially when someone like David Letterman or like Jay Leno, it's like, well, we assume there's like an HR department who would handle this. Like, there's so many jobs in place now that are supposed to make sure shit like that does not happen. And so I think that like your reaction is like, well, someone's going to handle that. Mm. Like someone, this is a corporation. This is ultimately ABC is Disney, like NBC is Universal, like they're corporate. Like, and so I think that for the longest time before you have any kind of power, you're like, well, someone's dealing with that. Like, it must be handled by someone because this couldn't just go on in plain sight all the time. You know, like you assume problems are being solved by adults, but they're being enabled by the adults that you think are supposed to be protecting you, right? Mm-hmm. So I've been on sets where I'm in a nude scene and it's supposed to be a closed set and there's 40 people there and the director's filming the monitor. But then I look over and the studio head is there. The network executive, and they're all there. So I'm like, okay, so you guys aren't going to say, now I have to be the asshole with no sense of humor, who can't take a joke, who's not fun or cool, who's going to go, hey guys, this is inappropriate. Now I'm like the bummer on set or the diva or the oversensitive woman or the hysterical woman. You know, there's just like, it's so ingrained that we're hysterical, crazy, dramatic, emotion. So there's something in that interview, which as hard as it is to watch, as hard as to think about, you know, what has happened to you, like, I will say this is probably not super helpful, but watching you just sit there and just like take it, like, and no one thinks about him anymore. And here you are like having this like amazing moment. Let's just sort of like, it was just amazing to watch you just be like, mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to fall for this. Like, I'm going to let you be shitty. And at some point, people are going to catch up to it. Like, you know, you just came off like just so classy and so just like gracious and patient and sort of, I think for a long time, that was a big part of our job was to tolerate this really flagrant, you know, misogyny to get what we wanted. But now we got it. Now it's enough, you know? Like the women that had to take that at the time, I believe were entrepreneurs that were doing the right thing because that was the fucking game. But now the game needs to change. Like it's too far and there's too many women in power and like this can't happen anymore. And I think that as much as it sucks that it happened to you, that you have to be one of the people that made us realize like you're a martyr and a saint and all those things. But, you know, it was so, I mean, I used to sit in writer's rooms. They used to have a picture of me on the wall and they'd throw darts at it. Like, it was like the shit that went on was just like wild. wild to think about. And I think this is kind of just the beginning in terms if we're going to go back and look at interviews and the way celebrities were treated. I mean, I was in a sitcom where I was just trying to be funny as a comedian. I was like 27 years old, like clearly had an eating problem, disorder and body stuff. And I talked about it. And the critics, I have all the criticism. They talked about my body in every, they were like, she's wiry, she's shrill, she's loud, she's annoying. It was just like, just a woman being the star of a sitcom is just like really disorganizing to these people and upsetting to them. And they had to come after my appearance. It's like, just say the show was bad. Don't come after my body. Like, you would never do that for a guy.
Yeah. Paris, did you ever have to deal with critics?
Yeah.
I can totally relate. Just going through so much. I'm so happy that times are finally beginning to change because enough is enough. And like,
how much of it do you feel at the time? As I'm watching you on that couch, like having been in that situation, I would have just burst into tears. Like I've done interviews where I'm just like kind of crying and just trying to hold it together, you know? Like, did you feel like you had just like found a way to disassociate and check out, or you just like were feeling it and covering?
Yeah, I was definitely inside. I'd wanted to just run off stage and cry. And I was just trying to hold back my tears and trying to be strong and just furious, upset, humiliated. But I knew I had to be professional and I couldn't say anything. So I just was like, okay, like I'm not going to answer. But I just kind of like, I don't know. I've never been the type of person who's like confrontational. So I would never tell someone off or do something like that. But inside, I was just really feeling it.
And here's what I'll say, like, and this is totally unfair and fucked up, but when people are mistreated like that, like publicly or even just in whatever job people that are listening have, the cooler you are when someone else is being shitty, the better it's going to go for you in terms, like, so people can look at that and it's just 100% him. You're just so classy and gracious, and it sucks that you were probably dying inside, but like, you didn't do anything that would go, well, she was kind of, well, she said this. And then he, you know what I mean? Like, because that's what they try to do. They try to be like, well, you were this and you said that. You were just like, I'm going to let you fucking hang yourself. And it was almost like, felt like people are going to watch this clip in the future and really think it was fucked up. It was almost like, you know, there was something just, I guess, amazing about something like a martyr saint moment, because that video is now going to be, is going to change a lot of things and be part of this reckoning.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, you're like, I don't really want to be a trailblazer. I kind of want to.
Paris has been a trailblazer for a lot of things. And I feel like it's funny to think that even retroactively, you in the past is now trailblazing more things in a way.
Yeah. Than people now.
Yeah.
It's like your old videos are doing more. And I mean, no, Paris has, I mean, you have had such a big impact, like, especially on, you know, girls like me that grew up feeling like they had to be tomboys. My dad wanted boys. He got me. He didn't know. He threw basketballs at me. Like, he didn't know how to, you know, I felt like I had to neuter myself for so long. And like, seeing you just being in the zeitgeist in, you know, my 20s was like, wait, I don't have to neuter myself to be accepted. And like, I don't have to be a boy and only wear pants and hoodies and sneakers and neuter myself in order to be taken seriously. Like, it was a very big deal to see, and to me, that's the most feminist thing, is to be unapologetically and triumphantly yourself, whatever the authentic version of you is. And you've always been that. And I would look at you and just go like, oh, you can be a businesswoman and wear your hair down. Like, that was like very important information that I hadn't gotten. You know, you can wear makeup and still run a business. Like, yeah, like it's really important that people see that, you know, that kind of, that femininity doesn't mean weakness and that you're not, you know what I mean? I got that message, that hyper femininity was like bad and not feminist. Like, I got shitty programming. And then to see you was just like, I mean, at Benton, like, it changed his life, you know? Benton, who co-hosts my podcast, like, wrote a paper on Paris Hilton, if you guys don't know this. And it, in his small town where, you know, he wanted to wear a skirt and he wanted to wear a dress, and there was no one that thought like him or looked like him. And he got to look at you on, you know, TV, and it was like, no, I want that. I'm doing that.
I love Benton. I can't wait to read that paper. I just remember getting that DM from you and you said that to me. You're like, Benton, he wrote this paper of you in high school. And I was like, this is so sweet.
There's even a photo of him like holding up something like maybe a magazine or something that you were on.
Oh, he's wearing, is he wearing a t-shirt or is he holding my album cover? I think.
Well, he is still wearing a t-shirt that says, I love Paris Hilton. And then he's holding up, is that an album cover?
I think it's an album or a poster. He's so cute.
He shows up in shirts with you on them a couple times a week, and I don't stand. I'm just like, let's just not. I'm not gonna let her know how many shirts you've had made of her. But no, I mean, I think it was at a time your ascent and omnipresence and business and how you turned all these little things into businesses and brands, like every little thing, and it was like everything felt was just so fucking smart and. It gave so many women, you know, certainly I can speak for my age that were taught, no, you have to be one of the boys to make it. And then you fucking made it. And I was like, wait, I don't think that's true. I think you can like wear bracelets and makeup and jewelry and still be taken seriously as a woman. Like that was a really big deal, I think, for that generation that thought they had to overcorrect and just be boys, you know? Mm.
Thank you. I love that.
She's like, can you shut up? Sorry.
No, I love it.
That's She's not... like, I know all. Tell me something I don't know.
You guys have more in common than just the successful without, you know, compromising pets. Huge pet fans.
Yes. I love that you're an animal lover like me.
I don't. And I wonder, like, you know, I think there are, you know, someone like you, I remember, like, because you were my neighbor for a while. And I remember on Kings Road. You were on Kings Road, like around that corner?
Yes.
Yeah. I was on I was on Miller Drive, which is like sort of, for those of you at Sunset, there's like a Hollywood, whatever. And then, so there's like you were maybe like half a mile away and I would like go running, you know? And there was always like cars outside your house and there was like people. And there was a time where you like couldn't get in your car and there was it was just like craziness. Okay, I mean, true, to the point to where I remember thinking, like, is this girl safe? Like, this was, like, a new era of paparazzi and internet and like, let's get the photo up today. You know, it used to be, like, it'll come out every Friday in Us Weekly. Then it was, like, we got to get a photo now. And so, it just got crazier. Didn't it feel like when you...
Out of control. It was, like, every time I left my house, it was, like, a red carpet with, like, people camped out. There'd be, like, 50 paparazzi, like... People jumping my fence like crazy.
An event. You became movie stars. They're like, yeah, we want to see you every 2 years when you have a movie come out. Like people wanted to see you every day, all the time. And I remember being like, this is too much for one person. But I was like, oh, she has a sister. That's good. But I remember going like, I hear she has dogs. Okay. I feel like she's okay. Cause that's like that unconditional love that no matter what happens to you, you're just like, you don't know what I do. You don't care about what I have or how I can help you. Like at a time when it feels like everybody's using you or it's just like dog. It's like back to, that's how I get my equilibrium back.
How many pets do you have?
Who's asking? Animal control or you?
Me.
If animal control is asking, I have 4 and a kennel license, so you can't come for me. But I have 4... I have 4 that are mine, and they're always with yes. me at every juncture. And I try to have 1 foster every month or as often as I can, considering how long it would take them to adopt them out. But I get I usually do animals that are involved in exotic animal trafficking trade, which are these like really tricky inbred overpriced breeds that they sort of, you know, like Sharpeys and Pharaoh hounds and, you know, these dogs that were like in some kind of trafficking situation, because a lot of times they'll breed them here and then send them over to like the Middle East or Saudi Arabia or someone commissioned a super expensive dog somewhere. So I usually get those if they're involved in a court case in LA County. I think this is a state by state thing. You can't put the dog back to the shelter if it's evidence in a court case, and they just have to put them down usually. So I take those.
Oh, I love
yeah.
that.
That's nice.
I need a little house like yours. How many do you have? I have a horse as well and a pig.
Yes. Oh yeah. I was going to ask you about the pig. So I saw a picture of it on, it's small.
It's small, but that's because I rescued him from a mini pig breed. Teacup pig breeder. So since you guys are all Paris Hilton fans, you're all animal people. So you will, I hope, hear this without getting defensive, which is that there's no such thing as a teacup pig. No pig naturally is under 80 or 100 pounds. What they do to make a teacup pig, those little 3-pound ones that, like, I want a million of them. But what they do is they, like, actually just starve them so that they don't grow. And they just stunt them. So I had gotten him from that, and he had all these, like, deformities in his legs and all these problems. So they just basically, like, dropped him off at a shelter. And I just took him, and he had all these health problems and almost died. But he's just the greatest. And pigs are awesome. Pigs are like, they're, first of all, they're awake 24/7. They never sleep. It's just like, tick, 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 tick. Your whole house is like, tick, 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 tick. They have their little high heels on, and they're just like, tick, tick. Like, they never, pigs make you realize how much dogs sleep. It's just like, you again? What? 5 a.m. He's like in my bed, like, what are we doing? What are we doing? And they're so smart.
So smart.
So smart. And it was such a joy. I moved him to a place called Central Texas Pig Rescue in Texas, because so few doctors and vets even know how to keep doctors and vets. I didn't take him to a doctor. I took him to a vet. Not that crazy with my animals. So few of them know how to take care of a pig and keep a pig alive, because no one wants to do that normally. So there were no vets here who even knew what was wrong. I would go into a vet and they would just start Googling, like, deformed leg pig. It was like, okay. There's just no one here that, you know, they go, we don't keep them alive. And a lot of times they have so many antibiotics in them that you can't even rescue a pig, because they're like, you have to promise us you're not going to eat it or something. Like, there's all these, like, crazy laws. Yeah. Yeah. So just absence of knowledge, you know, like, I came in with this pig who had all these problems, and he kept getting pneumonia, and because his all his organs were underdeveloped, and it was like a whole nightmare. And I would go to this vet every night at, like, midnight emergency, and I was spending all this money on this pig. And, like, 3 weeks into it, I said to her, and the pig was on a ventilator in my house. And but, you know, when you're rescuing a dog, there's just no, it's never a question. It's never like, am I going to give up? Like, it's just, I took on your life as my responsibility, and you're going to live. Like, I get obsessed. And I went into the vet a week later, and I was like, hey, so should we go? And she just goes, you're still doing this? She, like, basically, you haven't given up on this fucking pig yet? She's like, and she's basically like, we don't really know what to do. Like, we don't know. Like, no one spends this money on a pig. They eat them. You know, so this place in Texas, you know, knew what to do. And they have an amazing hospital in Austin that knows everything about pigs. So I keep them there because I was like, I'm going to kill you out here, dude.
I got tricked into the whole teacup pig thing, and I believed it. And it is true. There is no such thing as a teacup pig. So this woman contacts me on Instagram and is like, I have this little pig for you. I'm going to give it as a gift. It was like literally this teeny little pig. It was black and white and pink. It was so cute. It's like 1 pound. She's like, it'll only be like 5 to 10 pounds, full grown. I'm like, awesome. I get her. I name her Princess Pigolette. She's like sleeping in bed with me. Like, I'm obsessed with her. She's so sweet. Keeps growing. Then I put her in the doggy mansion with the dogs. She's like best friends. Keeps growing. Then she's like literally like 120 pounds. She's like no longer.
This is their scam. They charge you $3,000. They gave you a gift because they knew that it being on your Instagram would promote it. And they do that. And then they end up, people are in over their head because pigs are fucking huge and they're strong as and they're very territorial. So your pig will knock your dog over, your toddler, like, just because they're always learning their place in the world. They're just claiming space. And so then we have to deal with the fucking 50 pigs in a shelter because all these mini pigs that they rescued got too big and people can't have a 150-pound pig in their house.
That's so
and they eat
up.
Like furniture. They will eat everything. Truly anything. Oh, are God. You? How are you doing with all these dogs and animals?
Oh, I love the little dogs. They're the funniest looking dogs I've ever seen in my entire life. And they're so cute.
They're all aliens.
They're all aliens. But Paris and I went out there the other day, and the first day I was here, and I was just blown away at how sweet all of them were, which I think is another thing, like, a lot of impressions. A lot of people think that they know what Paris is like. And then you might think you know what Paris's pets are like. Like maybe they're, you know, not so sweet. Maybe they expect everything. And just like Paris, they're the sweetest people in the world. They just want to love everybody.
The sweetest people. You talk like me. I call my dogs people.
They're people. They're people.
People in dog costumes.
Yeah. Oh my God. Paris's people in dog costumes are really small then, because those things are.
I do think she gives them like eyelash extensions or eyebrow implant. I'm just like, I've never seen this kind of face before. Like these are dogs that you're like, I feel like there's a lab why are the eyebrows going up? Like, I mean, they're just such aliens.
Because they're supermodels.
They really are. And what is the one that I saw last time I was there? That little black, the tiny, what is that? Is it a fox? It does not look like a dog.
The little Pomsky teacup. The little.
What's that called?
A teacup Pomsky. Siberian teacup. Husky mixed with a Pomeranian.
Oh my God. That dog's personality. Mm-hmm. Was so funny and sweet and smart, and I just was like, how do I get, like, are we cloning, what are we doing, you know?
I know,
I'd like to rescue this dog. It's clearly being abused. it has its own hotel. I don't think
it'd be a hard sell.
This is Paris.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
I am all in.
With Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
This is Scott Patterson. You know me as Luke on the show Gilmore Girls, and I have a podcast called I Am All In. So, you know, here's the thing about the podcast is I've never, ever, ever seen, only seen one movie, and I've only seen the pilot. So 153 episodes and three movies I have not seen. And I know you guys have been binge watching it through COVID and, you know, for 21 years and generations of families and mothers and daughters. And let's watch it together, guys. You know, we'll share stories. We'll share the memories. I've got a million stories to tell, especially about Sean Gunn and Milo Ventimiglia and a lot of other people, too. And guess what? You can pull out your cell phones and use them during the podcast, I guess. How am I going to know? You come into the diner and do that, that's a different story. Listen to I Am All In on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, everybody, and don't forget, follow us on Instagram at I Am All In Podcast and email us at Gilmore@iHeartRadio.com.
All you Gilmore fans, if you're looking for the best cup of coffee in the world, go to my website for my company, scottyp.com, S-C-O-T-T-Y-P.com, scottyp.com. Grade one specialty coffee.
This is Paris.
Aside from the pets, you know, you guys, I want to talk about the comedy and stuff because I feel like coming up as
oh,
a
Oh, I'm
female...
so sorry. I never got to that. That I never responded to that question properly. I just made it about me yes. and how hard it's been for me. You know, it's tricky. I just think that we're getting to a point that it's just not even to... You know, I was talking to someone recently, and I'm trying to keep this, like, relatively vague, but, like, was talking to someone recently who was at in a situation where, like, there was some homophobia around him on a production. And it was, like, jokes. It's like an actor going into a show, and you're gay, and you read all their jokes, or, like, you know, like, oh, is this my only thing I have to offer? Is being mm-hmm. I'm, like, every gay man just constantly talking about dicks? Like, it was just very homophobic. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, and he was telling me all the jokes, and I was like, the bigger news here is not that they're homophobic. It's just that none of these jokes are funny, which is a testament to, as a society, like, we've moved on. Like, no one thinks this is funny. Like, this is just not working anymore. Like, just from a comedy perspective, forget your politics or your values or your morals. It's also, like, my thing with that about, like, sexist jokes and stuff, I'm like, I can get on my soapbox and tell you why these are sexist and degrading and insulting and offensive and racist and homophobic. But the first thing I'm going to tell you is they're just not funny. So that's the bigger thing here, guys. So it's mm-hmm. like when I'm talking to these comedy writers that make these or not offensive, like homophobic, racist, like if you're going to do that, it better be the best fucking joke on the planet, you know? But, you know, so I tend to be pretty like, yeah, let's see if someone laughs. They didn't. They mm-hmm. They voted, you know? So it's been kind of weird to think that, I think for the longest time, we think, oh, everyone in Hollywood are like super liberal, like super woke, super blue. They're behind. You know what I mean? America's going, that was weird. That interview was weird. We never liked that. We always thought that was weird. You know, there's just been this sort of like, capsizing of like, oh no, Hollywood, like you guys are fucking backwards in America now. You know, I mean, look, not all of them, but you know, for the most part are going like, we don't like this, and they're not watching it anymore, you know? So that's exciting that they're seeing that it's just a bad business decision, because Hollywood mm-hmm. it's like they don't do anything for morals. It's all for money or clout or to cover their asses or to seem like their politics, you know, it's all just like, you know, so it's tricky. Like on the roasts, like the point of the roast, like I think the roast might kind of be over, but the roast, like the whole point of that was to be as mean as possible, as insulting as possible, all those things. And usually this is the one thing I will say to, like, you know, people that have been on the roast that were, you know, yours. I was always called slut, whore, anorexic.
How does that feel? Like I've been asked to be on so many of these roasts, and I'm like, uh-huh. I am not putting myself through that. Like, I would rather, like, nope. die. Like, how do you, like, deal with that?
You know, it's having been inside, because it's this. It's also, you're ugly, you're disgusting, you're old, and you're also a slut. I'm like, which is it? Do you guys want to me or not? Like, pick one, you know? Am I old and busted, or am I a slut that guys want to be around all the time? You know, which is it? Like, and when you're in those rooms, because I was a writer on the roast before, the way the decisions get made, and this is probably defending an abuser, like Stockholm syndrome in a way, but you know, everyone that did sign up for it knew what they were getting into, you know? And it's you know, I always assume anyone that's there, like, knows, but like people like me and Lisa Lampanelli, like even comedians, like we would just cry afterwards, but we needed the money, you know? So it was like, yeah, you guys can humiliate us. And that's my job today, you know, is to allow all this. And then I'm going to come back and destroy you as well. You know, I don't think people that aren't comedians should even be on the roast. It's just, it's a comedian's tradition that is rooted in severe mental illness. And like, it's not a healthy thing. It was never meant to have healthy, normal people on it, mm-hmm. you know, that didn't deserve it. It was like, you know, Friars Club. It was like a bunch of degenerates just be like, you know, and it was all people that could take it and that had such dysfunctional step abuse as children that it actually didn't feel bad. You know, it was like, but to well-adjusted people, it's crazy. And I, and the thing is though, in the room, in the roast room, usually if you're a slut, it means they had nothing else to get you on. They couldn't say you weren't successful. They couldn't say you weren't talented. They couldn't say, you know, you haven't achieved anything. And so they just go for the slut card. It's like such a sloppy, lazy. So when I see that now, as much as it like hurts and as much as I like have to talk myself out of like internalizing it, I'm just like, oh, like you just took a shortcut that doesn't even work. And like, I feel bad for you. That was like the most creative thing you could come up with, like a punchline from the 80s, you know? So I like to just go, I just like to go like, joke's on you guys because you don't get to keep working and we do.
Is that what you always wanted to be growing up? Like you always wanted to be an actress and a comedian?
I wanted to be a journalist, which ended up kind of being what the same instinct that made me want to be a comedian, because it's all like, you know, you build a case and then you prove it. And then you sort of try to convince people of your point, you know, like that. It's more, it was like lawyer or journalist. And I realized that comedy was actually the thing I wanted to be doing, stand up. I interned at a local television station in Washington, D.C., where I was going to get like a tape. Like I wanted to be like a news anchor. And I didn't, the main problem with news at the time, news used to be non-biased. And my problem was that every time I would read the news to get like a tape that I could like submit, I guess. I don't know. Back then we needed tapes or something before the internet. And I remember everything that would come up, every news story, like a picture would come up of like the person and I would just start making fun of them. Like there was like a thing where it was like a kid got kidnapped and then his photo came up and I was like, who would want to kidnap him? The guy's blind. Who can I? Like, I was just like, whatever. I'm not standing. None of them were good jokes, but I couldn't not make jokes. Like, I couldn't not be like, well, why would you go on the subway at night? Like, I couldn't, whose fault is that? Like, I kept going into that. And it was like, oh, I'm never going to not be able to put my opinion in something. So I was like, comedy happened.
There's obviously a connection between comedy and having a little bit of a dark side, maybe some unresolved. Like, I know everybody in my family who's funny has some trauma.
Are you implying?
Why do you love horses so much? I already know. We've already talked about it.
Comedians aren't emotionally stable? Is that what you're implying?
Yeah, I am. I think that's a true thing, right?
Yeah, I am. Fair. Yes, I do think the instinct to need to get up and make a bunch of drunk strangers love you against all odds, especially because in the beginning for so long you have absolutely no success and you're not funny, so it's incredibly painful. You're making no money, you're ruining your social life, you're ruining your sort of chances at any kind of life stability, you're losing your fertility, all the things, and it's to be worth it, to be that painful and worth it is such a masochistic thing. But I do think the kind of people who need to do it so badly has to do with, I know that I had to audition for approval as a kid. I know I had to fight really hard to get attention in an alcoholic home or even just in a busy home. Like, you know, I don't blame my mom for this. I'm so glad she was working, but she was working, you know, none of my friends' moms were working in the 80s and 90s or early 90s. And so she was gone all the time. I was alone a lot. And I like felt like I had to work really hard to get people's approval, and I had to be funny and crass because a lot of times, you know, it was like the adults throw them back and I would come downstairs and try to entertain them and get their attention and be more entertaining than alcohol. So when you have to compete with alcohol, you end up getting funny because it's a hard thing to compete with. And also my last name is Cummings, so I had to figure out a way to
defend
myself.
There was only one
career
you could go into. Yeah,
yeah, I did defend myself on the schoolyard quite a bit.
This is a horrible transition, but you mentioned fertility.
Yes. Yeah. I wanted to ask you about that.
Let's do it. I love it. I froze my eggs when I was 33, and I'm going to try to freeze embryos this fall. Hunter, are you in? I need some sperm.
I've got too much right now. So, yeah.
Water under the bridge. Let's just fully have a kid together. We don't have to just – we don't have to be in the same room like a modern Mormon family.
I fully support this idea. You also are doing. Yes. I'm sorry, just trying. I don't know.
She literally
what
is
age
like, you're like, oh,
this is
going to be a fight later. Why am I even talking to you? So what's the deal? Where are you in it?
Well, my fiance and I have been doing it. We're not doing it.
No, well, you're I like, bet you have huh?
been doing that in this.
Yeah.
Well, I
is
thought it was
embryos?
Like, yes. So during quarantine. Great. Like at this point, Carter and I were together for probably like, I don't know, like 6 months. And we just went and started doing the IVF.
So wait, so how you have embryos on ice and then when is the implant, the in vitro? Is that what it's called?
I don't know. I didn't even know anything about this or like what it was. And then Kim Kardashian told me like at one of her Christmas parties. And then I was like, this sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. So then I was like, I'll just, I don't know. If when I found someone I loved, I would do it with him. And then Carter, I just knew. So we started doing it like during quarantine because I was like, this is perfect. The world shut down. There's nowhere to go. Like, because it's hard, like having to do all mm-hmm. the shots. Like, mm-hmm. how was the process for you? I wanted to ask how you felt during
it. Oh, my God. A couple things. Number one, I think I got very disgruntled during the process because I did egg freezing. Not embryo freezing, which I'm going to do embryo freezing this the end of this year, I think. So I didn't have someone to go through it with. It was very much like you're doing this because you're going to be alone forever because your personality sucks and you have to do this because you like there was just so much shame around it when I did it. Like there no one talked about it. Like, you know, now, you know, insurance, I think it's covered by insurance at maybe Facebook and Google, like, you know, it's becoming more mainstream, but when I did it, it was very much like in secret. It was embarrassing. It was like I had failed. So now I have to spend money on being able to be fertile for longer because I failed as a woman. I'm breaking down as a woman. I'm rotting. Like, it's just like a lot of shit comes up that I didn't expect. And because I feel like I was told like women can have it all now and careers and families and all that. And I was driving, I think you and I are going to the same place. Like, it's a hike, you know, and it takes an hour to get there and you're in there for an hour and it takes an hour to get home. And I just was like driving down whatever Crescent Heights at 9 a.m. And I just was like, I would just cry because I was just like, why the f*** do I have to do this? Like, I've done everything right. I've worked hard. I deserve to be a mom. I deserve to have someone love me. Like, I've worked so hard on my career and I feel like now I'm being punished for it, you know, and I put my career first and now I'm being punished and embarrassed and made to feel bad. But that was all my own shit. Like I had to work through, by the end I started to be like, how lucky am I that I can afford this? And you know, how lucky are we to be alive at a time where you can have a kid at 42, you know? And so I was a brat about it. I gotta be honest. I was bratty and I was not grateful for how lucky are we alive at a time where, you know, you can have more power over your family planning. Like I wasn't in gratitude and, because it's a hassle and it's like, I had to go in because I was on birth control before and it took so long for my, like, this is literally the terminology for my uterus to like start back up. Like if you're on birth control, your uterus kind of like shuts down for, I'm sure there's a more elegant way to put this. And then it took me so long to get my flow and cycle back that it took like 2 or 3 months to even start the injections. And so that pushed. And then I was touring when I was doing the injections. So I was carrying my little needles on planes and putting them in refrigerators and little hotels and like shooting myself. Like it was just like, I had to have a note when I went through. Like I just was like, ah, fuck it. You know, I didn't have support but I also didn't ask for support. Like once I did towards the shots, all my friends helped me with my shots. I have all these videos. I have this video of Jason Bateman. I was just having my friends give me my shots. So it was like more fun. And like, you guys come over. Let's do a shots party. You guys do shots. You give me my shot. Like, I realize you have to make it fun. And here's what I will say. Everyone wants to give you the shot. Everyone's like, I'll do it. Like, everyone is psyched really? To do it. I was like bruising and like I wasn't doing a good job. And I felt like, giving myself the shots just felt lonely at the time. So I involved my friends and made them come to appointments with me. And they all wanted to. They want to learn about it. They want to meet the doc because they're next in line. You know what I mean? So I was just like, I once I finally started asking for like support, it got less dark and embarrassing and sort of, I stopped getting so petulant. But yeah, I have a video of Jason Bateman. I was like, you can give me my shot. You know how to do it. And I like show him how to do it. And he's like, got it. I got it. I know what I'm doing. I got it. And he stabs me with the needle and just pulls the needle out. Like he didn't hit no. to get the actual solution in my body. So it's just him stabbing me for no reason. So it's like, I tried to like make fun moments out of it so that it was less like, I was like, this is so out of character for me to not make something hard fun. And like, why can't I figure this out? Because I feel like I'm failing as a woman. And that's an old thing. But it's also a very primordial thing. You know, there's like, we've been shamed to believe if we don't get pregnant the first time that we're like bad or wrong or broken or like, you know, not enough of a woman. Like, it's just, there was so much of that. And I can send you the video of me after my eggs, because I was also telling everybody the eggs that they got, all my friends, because I was like, you can have two, you can have two. Like, I was like donating, like on fentanyl or whatever drug I was on, I was like donating the eggs as soon as I came out of it and was on like on so many drugs. I'm so glad I did it. After I did it, I got something called hyperstimulation, which is after they extract the eggs, the next day you can't have any sugar and you can't like, you're on bed rest. But for me, for people like us, bed rest is like go shoot five things and shoot six TV shows. And, you know, because they were like, it's fine. Like, just take it easy. For us, taking it easy is like, you know, fly to New York and back in one day for three jobs. Right.
Yes.
So I didn't respect his take it easy because I was like, now I got to fucking get back to work. And I got so sick. Because the follicles that they extract fill up with water and it's incredibly painful and I couldn't walk for 2 days. Yeah. Wow. But I didn't, cause I think that there's this thing where it's like, if you're the kind of woman who's going to get your eggs frozen, you plan ahead, you're organized, you have a job, you have a life, like we're all busy now, you know? And I think that by the time I had done that for 4 months, I was just like, I'm done with this. I want to get back to work. Like this has been too much. And I didn't lie on bed rest the next day.
Are you and Carter done with it?
Or no. Yeah, we've done a couple of them. I might want to do one more just to
the embryo, more. The eggs. You extract the eggs, and then him is the sperm frozen, or yeah. Were they eggs you had previously frozen? Okay.
Yeah, I found out it's better to do embryos because they will like take better or something. I don't know.
Yes,
like they live longer. I don't know, something.
Yes, no, they do. The chances of them taking are much higher, you know. And I think it's important that women know. And I didn't really get this. Like, my doctor finally said this to me, and it's what I needed to hear. Of like, if you're freezing your eggs in your 30s, this might not be for your first kid or even your second kid. This could be when you're 45 and you're like, you know what, let's do one more. You know, like it's not that you failed today. This is for, it's insurance.
It's like a backup right? plan. Yeah.
It's a backup plan. And I find that so many people are able to get pregnant naturally faster when they do this because they're not so stressed out about getting pregnant. Because it's like, well, I got these on ice, so let's just drunkenly and then they get pregnant. And they're like, what?
That's how it happens. That's how every pregnancy has ever happened. So
you're trying, and you're putting so much stress on your body that cortisol is being emitted, and it's telling your body, it's do not grow a baby because this person is stressed out. Your body doesn't know it's about getting the baby in there, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's just like, this is not a safe place. It's like the same elephants too. Elephants in captivity famously don't breed, you know, and they kill their own babies. Like our bodies know when the host, whatever, mother is in a toxic environment and is producing cortisol. It makes you less fertile, ironically. So it's like sometimes just taking the weight off and knowing like, okay, I always have that. You get pregnant naturally.
This is Paris.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com. One place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
This is Seven Sliving Questions.
Are you ready to sliv with my seven
yes.
sliving questions?
Okay.
Okay. What is the craziest rumor that you've ever heard about yourself?
That I dated Lenny Kravitz, but I don't want to stop the rumor. I'd like this rumor to keep going. What if it's a rumor I like?
Until Lenny hears and Lenny goes, yeah. Should I do?
Puts out a statement. Has a press conference. Like, I just want to make this abundantly clear.
He's the least public-facing musician out right now, and he puts out a statement just to be like, by the way.
He goes out of his way from, like, the Bahamas to be like, hey, guys, I just want, in his sarong. Like, I want to let you guys know.
Zoe comes out, like, that's not my mom. That
I went out of my way to learn how to use social media to debunk this rumor. craziest rumor I've heard about myself. That, there was a lot of, in the beginning, sleeping with, like, everyone needed me to have slept with every comic to have gotten what I got. So it was like, oh, so so-and-so says you're, you know, sleeping with Chris Rock. It's like, I've never met Chris Rock. Like, it's just sort of like, I don't know, take it, sure, why not? I'd love to, but I haven't. It's like, rumors are always, in a way, insulting, because it's like, if it's people I've slept with, it's like, well, now I have to admit, that person didn't sleep with me. Like, it's just sort of like, you know, I find that sometimes rumors, having to debunk them is like, oh, now I just have to say what really happened, which is way more boring and less cool.
Yeah, who's the person that you've been rumored to have been with that is the most far off? Or maybe...
Oh, yeah. I have one that crazy. Yeah, so many, because so many guys love to lie about it. But the craziest rumor I ever read online or in the media was that I was dating Michael Jackson, which was like, he's... Like, I've known him my entire life. Like, my mom and him are best friends. Yes, we've known each other since my mom was 13. So, like, I grew up with him. So when people said that, I was like, that is the weirdest rumor I've ever heard in my life. Because he was like,
but here's the thing. This is why journalism, something needs to change. Because I'm going to be honest with you. If I'm a journalist and I need to pay my bills and feed my kids, and I'm going, we have pictures of Michael Jackson and Paris Hilton together?
Yeah.
That's just wild and gross. I've definitely had, what else was it? I think a lot of people thought I was a lesbian for a while, which I might be. I mean, I might be, let's be honest.
Have you seen women? It makes sense.
Would
They're
love
great.
For that to be true. yeah, you seem to be having a blast with us.
The next one is...
If I think of another one.
What is the worst date that you've ever been on and why?
Ooh, really quick about that. Sorry, can I say this really fast? That I have a lot of plastic surgery. And I admit everything I have, and I'm so, like, I never want it to come off like women shouldn't do that if it makes them feel good about themselves. I had to have my boobs reconstructed like 3 times. They're amazing. yes. Because I had scoliosis and all these eating disorders, and they grew in weird, and I went to someone in like a mini mall when I first moved here because I was embarrassed and I didn't tell anyone. I just went to this guy by the airport in a mini mall. It was not a good, and they tore a muscle, and then I had to go to Garth Fisher to get them both reconstructed. You know, I get filler on this side of my nose because of my, broke my nose, whatever. And it's just like frustrating, I think, sometimes when people say that, like, she's had so much plastic surgery, but then they say I'm like busted and old, and I'm like, which is it? You know what I mean? It's like, am I, you know, I don't know. So that does always feel wild to me when someone's like, when you got a facelift? And the funny thing about it is I'm just like, thank you for thinking that. Like, it used to really hurt my feelings, and now I'm just like, you know what? I'll take the win. Yeah. Thank you.
I think you're so beautiful.
I love you. Thank you. And it's just tricky because I think that you've been a part of this. Like, there's a time where it was like women are in the workforce now, and if men are attracted to you, it's your fault. So you need to be less sexy. You need to be less beautiful. You need to be less feminine, because everything you're doing that's feminine is asking for it. And men, which is actually so insulting to men, because it's like you're implying that they can't handle, you know, going, no, thanks, I'm not going to rape you. Like, they can handle, they can do that. No matter what you're wearing. And you showed me, like, you can just don't be apologetic about what you do have. You know, and that was a big deal for me.
Yes.
Worst date. My worst date. I think I'm on it. Is it fair to say I'm on it right now?
I don't know if this is a reference to me right now, but I'm fucking tired of getting torn. I'm tired of getting torn apart.
Okay. No, my worst date. Well, my worst date, I believe, was when I first moved to LA. These were the kind of shark infested waters that Paris was also swimming in. I had moved to LA. I met a lawyer at a movie premiere. Remember when people didn't have phones to look at, so they just walk up to each other and just talk to each other? It was crazy. It was wild. And he was like this older lawyer who asked me out on a date. We went to the Petit L'Hermitage, which is like where you take people when you want to hide them. Or, like, remember the Petit Bistro on La Cienega?
Yes.
It's like, it was, across from Sushi Roku. No one would ever go in. So, also, like, that's where married guys would take you. And you'd be like, oh, my God, he's taking me to this, like, restaurant in the middle of the strip. But, no, there's no one in there. That was not a real, it was, like, a fake restaurant for men that were, like, cheating on their wives. You know, it was, like, no one from Hollywood went there. Because he knew he didn't want to run into anyone that he knew. He couldn't take me to fucking Koi or wherever. And, the next day, he asks me to meet him at Rite Aid in Beverly Hills. And I'm like, okay. I drive down there in my little, like, Daewoo, whatever. And I'm like, he's so romantic. He wants to meet me in person. And, like, he wouldn't email. He wouldn't text. He would call. And I'd be like, he calls. Like, it's so romantic. He likes me. And he meets me at the Rite Aid, comes in. I'm, like, in the Rite Aid. And he goes, hey, I was hosting the Sundance coverage for the festival, Sundance Festival at the time. And so I was going to Sundance every year. I was probably 23 or something. And he comes in right in. He goes, hey, just so you know, I'm going to be at Sundance also with my fiance. So I'm just not going to be able to talk to you very much. And it was so, like, it wasn't even, it was very matter of fact, like, frankly, kind. Like, he thought he was just being kind and going, like, I don't want to hurt your feelings when you find out I have a fiance. Like, I was just like, dude, I'm like, oh my God, for you to do this with me right now means you've done this to so many people. And it must have worked many times. Like, that's the crazier part, is when you deal with these, like, motherfuckers that are having a reckoning. Like, the incident you hear about is just the incident you hear about. Mm-hmm. If they do it, it means that they got away with it for 20 years. Like, they pulled that for 20 years and no one said anything, you know? And, yeah. And then I remember I was so angry and, like, shaking, and I was a kid. I mean, I was 23 years old, and I was like, this guy, you know what I mean? I had no ability to control my temper or feelings. Like, I was so insulted. And now I can go, oh, this is a negative contribution to your future. I can just leave and let you be crazy. I don't have to, like, tell you why it's crazy. Like, I don't have to tell, like, a 45-year-old man why he shouldn't be, like, you know. And I, at the time, I thought that, like, a stern conversation with someone could, like, change their neurology in childhoods. not true. So then I was so angry that I like stormed out, but it's the only Rite Aid I've ever been to that has a valet thing that you have to, you know, you have to get your ticket stand. A fucking Rite Aid, dude. This is the one in Beverly Hills. And I go out and they're like $7 if you didn't get it validated. And I'm like, I'm a concubine and I was just meeting this guy. Like, I'm like yelling at this guy being like, I'm like, I can't go back in there. He's in there. So then after screaming at him in Rite Aid, I walk in and I'm like, can you please buy me something so that I can get my ticket validated? It was awful. And he like bought me some gum and I was like, got it validated and like stormed out.
That might win as the worst date for sliving questions yet.
That's so embarrassing. And I left my, you know, when you're frazzled, like I left my car at the thing and there were like four cars behind me honking. Like I held up the line. I made a scene. It was bad.
Brutal.
It was good.
Hopefully he hears this. He's beyond.
Oh, I've seen him. I saw, because here's my favorite thing about shit like that. When guys do that to you when you're like 21, 22 in Hollywood, I'm like, you didn't think I was going to make it.
I was going back home.
That's my bigger issue with this, is that you looked around and you're like, she's not going to make it. This, like, you're going after the girls that you don't think will ever hold you accountable or have access to people in your business. Like, that's the worst part, is that most people have these stories. They're like, I was discovered on the street. I was the opposite. He was like, she's never going to make it. I'm just going to, you know.
Is he still with his fiance?
Nope. And do you have your phone next to you?
Yeah.
Near you? I'm going to text you who the fiance was.
Yes.
To blow your mind.
Okay. I like it. Oh, really?
Yes.
Interesting.
And then I found out that was the fiance, and the fiance was actually kind of like a hero of mine, and a woman that I'm like, oh, she does not know this is happening. And I'm like, do I go tell her? And I almost made a TV show about it because I was 22. I know the fiance that he was trying to cheat on me with. We never had sex, like, or any of that. But I remember going, I need to tell her. And I asked all my friends, I'm like, we need to track her down and I need to tell her. And they're like, let's just walk through how this is going to go. You know what I mean? You're going to go to her house. You're just like a dumb 22-year-old. And then you're going to be like, hey, I need to tell you that this happened. And then the joke was always that she would go, yeah, I'm not threatened. Goodbye. She'd be like, I'm me. But yeah, I never told her. And I think that's a very big dilemma with women, of if you know a woman, if you're cheated with or a guy's in, do you tell the woman? And I talked to three people who were like, that marriage isn't going to happen anyway. Just, it's already going down in flames. Like, don't get involved. But there are times where I'm like, God, and I've told girls about it and it's gone poorly. You know, I'll be like, hey, I heard this rumor. I don't know if it's true, but I would want to know if I were you. And they were like, why would you think that? Why would you tell me that? That's not true. And it like fucked up our friendship. So it's a tricky one.
Yeah, some people get defensive sometimes, even if they think it is true, because then it makes, I don't know, like I remember years ago when I would get cheated on, I would be like, it would be in the media and I'd be so humiliated, and then my family would be like, oh, is that true? And I would just be so defensive, like, no, that's not true. The media is making it up. Like, he would never do that to me, because you would almost make it think like you're the bad person because he like went and did that to you. Which now I don't think like
that anymore. Not only are you the bad person, it's like what in the Britney documentary, yeah, it was like she's a slut, she cheated on him, he did a video where, you know, it's like he just sort of like incriminated her. And, you know, but yeah, I think that natural instinct is, are you saying I'm someone that would get cheated on? Like, yeah, it's also, like, there's a
I'm
little
not
bit
good
of
enough or something.
Yeah, I'm not good enough, I'm not pretty enough, I wasn't, you know, good enough in bed. Like, I just hear when someone's like, I think he, you know, I'm like, are you implying that I can't stop him from being attracted to any other woman ever? Are you implying? Like, I go there, you know? You know, so yeah, that's, I get the getting defensive. That's so healthy. That's my brand.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, that's question 2 of 7.
I like it. All right, so next question. You have to go live on an island. You get to bring one person and one item. Who is it? What is it? Why?
I can't believe you just asked me this, because I thought about this the other day. That's how lonely I am. I was like, I might as well just do this. No, I was thinking about this the other day because I think I would need cuticle cutters. I'm serious. I had COVID and I was basically on an island for, you know, this amount of time. And my, I was like, I cut my cuticles probably every 2 days. And
yourself?
Yeah. What? And then, the, no, I'm but by the way, and then it, that. No. Okay.
I have
do
a
you
person
see, but,
do it.
No, so do I.
It's just, you do it's it yourself? Just, like, ow.
Harris, I'm trying to describe a mental illness to you. I know you can't relate, but this, just so you know. So I cut so deep. It, there's no cuticle there. I'm just cutting in, and it's it happens at like midnight when I get anxious. And then I go into my, look.
Toenails?
Wait, that's dried blood. Hold on. Do you see that's like dried blood right there?
Yeah.
Right there. It's so gross.
That's hot.
I'd... And I do, and I like can't stop doing it. It's like there's something like don't we all have? Don't you have a little thing that's like your little blankie or something that soothes you? That's yeah. like kind of weird.
Maybe don't bring that to the island. You can't do it anymore.
She's like,
you're gonna
I'm
end up
visiting.
With no toes, no fingers.
That's a great point. This is like your chance to rehab. Go to the island without your cuticle
like
cutter.
Nubs. Okay, I like what you're doing. You're saying what should you have on the island to fix? Am I allowed to cheat and say like a phone with Wi-Fi? So like I'm trying to cheat. Why am I trying to do that?
That's what I would bring.
Yeah, I think that's okay. So now pick a person.
Yes. Okay, I mean, am I allowed, like Lizzo?
Yeah, you can bring Lizzo.
Don't you think?
Yeah, have her make sure her item is like a flute or something so that you have like, music and.
I'm saying, yeah. I'm like, do they have to consent to this?
No. You take them from, you kidnap them for this challenge.
All right. Next is first celebrity crush and current celebrity crush.
Love it. Oh, first celebrity crush, Eddie Furlong. Wrote him numerous letters. I think now he's mostly known for releasing lobsters from a pet store, crazily. He was in Terminator, the first Terminator, the second.
Got it.
I see him. He was our Timothy Chalamet. How dare you judge me?
He's my ex-boyfriend.
Is he?
What? What?
That's like recently.
Oh, sorry about that. Is there a picture? Is there a picture of him and you online?
Yes.
Get up here. Oh my God.
Oh, he's handsome. He's younger.
Oh my God. That is. How long did you two date? That's so funny.
I don't remember. Maybe like 8 months. This was a while. I was like 19.
Yeah. No. I mean, look. I'm still jealous. Wait. Current crush. Who's the guy that was in The Shape of Water? What's his name? The mean guy. What's his name?
Michael Shannon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who's that?
He's sexy to me too. Like I like
guys also, like him.
I love toxic relationships, so he's my type as well.
Oh, I love him. He's such a good actor.
He's so good.
What is your most prized possession?
Mona, come here. Well, it's her. Come on. Aww. She's like just the love of my life. I guess my most prized possession is a painting my friend Kevin made of her.
So pretty, those eyes. What's the craziest thing that you've done lately?
Maybe that face.
It couldn't possibly be the blue and purple hair, could it? Craziest thing I've done lately. Wait, what did I do? I just did something. I mean, I had Amanda Knox stay with me for 3 days. People think that's a little weird, but
yeah, that counts.
I think she's awesome. she's amazing and so cute. But I was talking to a friend of mine about it, where the crazy part I think wasn't so much that she stayed with me; it's that like every time she was in the kitchen cooking or had a knife, I'd be like, "Gong, please!" Like I was doing all these bits about her being a murderer and
to her.
Yeah, and she was like laughing, and I told that to my friend Dan, and he was like. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. Like, you're insane.
So you don't think she did it?
I don't think she did it.
Okay.
I don't.
Okay. I just wanted to
all
make
guys,
sure.
No, I know. All guys do, because all guys think that all women are conniving and cunning monsters. No, I get it.
I was just going to say it'd be a lot crazier if you thought she did it and then said, why don't you come stay with me for a few days?
Oh, yeah. But it was so funny, because every time, she's so cool and self-aware about it, but like, when I'm staying in this other house and I'm so clumsy and I'm tripping on shit and I'm walking into beams because it's not my house. And every time I would like slip or something, she'd be like, please don't die around me. It was funny. Like, she was super like hilarious about it. You know, like she'd be holding a knife and she'd be like, do you want me to put this down? I'm like, no, it's fine.
No. Yeah, that's cute. That's fun.
It was funny. She's so smart and funny and interesting. We did a podcast episode that was like two parts. It was like 4 hours.
Wow.
I love it.
That was cool.
So what's a flaw of yours that you always fall back into?
I don't have any flaws, so.
I got you. The cuticle thing's fucking weird. So let's put that one on the list.
Okay, a flaw that comes up. For me, when I am angry, I like to just go away and work through what's old and what's not, what's historical, what's now, what's my dad's thing or my mom's thing or what I saw. I need time to step back and delineate. Okay, this is not your fault. This is not about you. This is old. Like, I just kind of need that time, but I have a hard time communicating it without it being like, I just want to go, I just need like 2 days before I respond to this, which is, you know, no one wants to hear that, but I know I need to, because the flaw is when I can just go off the handle and can respond emotionally or make permanent decisions based on temporary feelings, or I let my reptilian brain run the show because I feel scared and I am embarrassed or I feel ashamed or your feedback feels like criticism to me right now or feels like an attack. Like, I have to physically like step away and like walk myself through, you know, I'm in Al-Anon, a 12-step program. Like, I kind of have to walk through and be like, okay, I'm going to forgive you for this. I'm going to turn this over. This was my fault. I'm going to own my part. I owe an apology here. Like, I really have to break it. I don't like to just free ball fight.
Top three bucket list items.
Shut down the horse carriage business in New York and South Carolina. Ruin or stop a man in Hollywood that keeps procuring exotic animals for petting and holding. He's doing it illegally in California, and he like smuggles animals in, and it's a nightmare. So I want to stop him from being able to do that. Which I think I will be successful. And I want bigger boobs. Those jokes.
Nice.
I want to have... Is kids a bucket list thing? That's sad.
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah, no, it's nice.
That's nice.
Oh, is it? I don't have kids. Yeah. I'm not like I need to go skydiving or parachuting. Mine are very boring. Like, I think when you've had a crazy life, your bucket list stuff is like, I just want to like... stay home for the night and get dinner.
Yeah.
Do
also, when you
do that,
when you like, I think when you've experienced success in the field you want to be in and you've kind of like hit a lot of those milestones, having a family or finding the person you want to spend the rest of your life with becomes like numero uno in terms of things that you value.
That is 100%. You're like, I kind of just want to like have dinner with like people around a table and everyone stay and no one scream at each other. Is that a Does that count?
I think that sounds lovely. How many questions was that, Paige?
That was Seven's Living Questions.
That was it.
What's my score? What's my score? How'd I do?
You got 1,000,000,000%.
That's the highest you can get on this scale, by the way. That's
we
great.
Thought this was going to be like snappy and funny, but it ended up getting like sad and a bummer. So
no, we like sad on this podcast. It's kind of
I had so much fun.
Yeah.
Being awesome.
I do. And like, I love that you're like, I love that you're doing a podcast. Like, and if, you know, she's yelling at me. It's people just want to hear the wiretap. They just want to hear us talk. You know, it's such a weird thing, I think, to think, like, who would want to hear me talk for 3 hours? Like, people just, you know, all the podcasts I love are just exactly this. People just being totally authentic and having a conversation.
That's very sweet. We'll figure it out. It was really nice meeting you. I'm glad we got to kind of hash over some of our stuff. I feel good about it.
Sorry.
No, don't apologize.
I feel like we came to a good place. I feel like we're both stronger.
We literally got to the point where I'm giving you my semen for your children, so I feel like we couldn't be in a better place.
I am an entrepreneur. I'm a businesswoman, and I never let an opportunity pass. And if there's a single genetically blessed man that I can con into giving me sperm, I'm gonna shoot my shot.
My dad's handsome, so you know that this baby will at least be good looking until he's 62.
No, I know you're handsome because I'm mean to you. So it's a compliment. It's like, you know when guys pull your hair and they're like, it's because he likes you. I have the same toxic approach.
I enjoyed it, and it was really nice meeting you.
I love you guys. I'll see you guys soon.
This is Paris. Thanks for listening to This is Paris. We love hearing from you. So leave us a review. Send an email to paris@iheartradio.com. Leave a voicemail at 833-87-PARIS. And follow us at This is Paris Podcast. Bye, babes.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.